Welcome to the Employment Law and HR Podcast with your host, Allison Cauley.
Hello and welcome to episode number 89 of the Employment Law and HR Podcast. I'm your host, Allison Cauley. I'm an employment law specialist and solicitor, and my firm is Real Employment Law Advice. We provide advice to employers and employees on all aspects of employment law and HR. You can find out more details about the firm at realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk, and we have a specific site for employers where you'll find lots of useful information, updates and blogs, and that's adviceforemployers.co.uk. This week, I'm going to be talking about the hot topic of the GDPR. This is currently one of two episodes I have planned. However, depending on the length of this episode and the next one, and what else comes up in the meantime, it may very well go into a further episode or two. But it is a big topic, so I thought that I would cover it in terms of the implications in relation to employment. So, without further ado, I'm going to get into this week's featured content. So, undoubtedly by now, you have heard of the GDPR, or you might have heard the word GDPR but don't really know what it's all about. Well, if you haven't heard, and you run a business in which you hold any form of information, personal information, whether that be about employees or customers or even visitors to your website, and you are based in the EU, so the UK and Europe, then you need to know about the GDPR. This episode of the podcast is going to be focused on the GDPR in relation to employment, and I'll give you an overview. But if you are interested in finding out more about the GDPR in terms of your other obligations, then I will give details about that at the end of the show. So what is the GDPR and what's it all about? Well, the GDPR stands for General Data Protection Regulation, and it is a regulation that's come from Europe. And it will take effect in the UK from the 25th of May 2018. So that's the deadline for compliance. So please make a note in your diary that you need to do something about the GDPR by the 25th of May 2018. It's not one of those things that you can bury your head in the sand about or hope that it goes away. It's important that you do take action. And I know that you're a listener of this podcast, so you are an action taker already. But if you know anybody else that isn't, who doesn't listen to the podcast, or that runs a business, or that holds personal data, then they need to understand about the GDPR. Okay, so what's it really all about? Well, in the UK, data protection law is currently covered by the Data Protection Act 1995. Now, if you think back to 1995, and what the world was like then in terms of our accessibility to the internet and databases and the way that we conducted business and how we held data and the speed at which information could travel, it wasn't very fast. Now, I was at school in 1995, in my second to last year of school, and I do remember that in my school there was one or two computers. There weren't many at all. And I don't consider myself to be that old. But if you think that this is legislation that was put together, debated and considered at that time, and now everybody holds a computer in their pocket that can process information, we have all kinds of software and databases available to us as business owners, including, you know, cloud-based things like Google, all of that sort of stuff that we have now, which just isn't covered, or the Data Protection Act just isn't really fit for purpose. Now, coupled with the fact that we are also doing business across Europe, and many businesses do work across Europe and have employees in various places, have customers in various places. So what happened was, rather than having different pockets of data protection and data rights and that sort of thing across Europe, It was decided that having a single legal framework across Europe for handling data would be better for businesses who do operate in various jurisdictions, so that there aren't different considerations depending on where you are. And as the UK is part of the EU, or was part of the EU at the time it was put together, we are bound by it. And my understanding, it is the intention that we will continue to be bound by it. And undoubtedly, if we want to do trade and business in Europe, then we will have to adhere to it. And certainly, if you process information about individuals in other EU countries, even if we weren't going to sign up to it in the UK after Brexit, you would still have to comply anyway. Because it's a regulation from Europe, it has direct effect, which means that it comes into UK law automatically. We don't have to have a bill or an act of parliament in order for it to become effective. It will be effective from May. There are plans afoot to replace the Data Protection Act with a data protection bill, but this is yet to be published. So again, watch this space. The GDPR sets out a set of regulations with the purpose of harmonising data protection law and rights across the EU. However, there are some provisions within the GDPR regulations that enable member states, so individual countries, to pass law domestically to cover certain areas of the GDPR. And interestingly, one of those is employment. So if inclined, the UK government could pass legislation which either tightens the restrictions on employment or varies them in some way, but they won't be able to make them any less stringent than is covered by the GDPR anyway. So just to summarise there, because there's a lot to take in relation to European law, the GDPR comes into effect directly in the UK in May. It harmonises data protection laws across the EU and is applicable in all EU member states, and the UK will be bound by it as well. Many of the provisions that are coming into the GDPR are actually very similar, or in a similar way, to the Data Protection Act. So whilst there's a lot to think about, and certainly it's not something you should take lightly, if you're already complying with the Data Protection Act, then you have already got a really good starting point. For those of you who know a bit about the Data Protection Act, it basically covers three different things. One is personal data, the other is data controllers, and the third is data processors. Now, under the GDPR, it's very similar. As an employer, you are a data controller and you hold personal data about employees. And that can be personal data is things like name, address, date of birth, and sensitive personal information that you may hold are things about healthcare, medical history, criminal records, that sort of thing. Under the GDPR, that continues. It's the same and very similar wordings and definitions used. So why do you need to be bothered about this? Why do you need to think about the GDPR anyway? Currently, under the Data Protection Act, the maximum fines for breaches is £500,000. The maximum penalty under the GDPR is €20 million, or if it's more, 4% of the worldwide turnover. So clearly the financial implications are huge, not to mention the reputational issues as well. If you think about some of the major data breaches that have taken place recently, I'm thinking about, is it the Carphone warehouse and those sorts of things, where huge amounts of information, personal information, was lost or in some way breached, then it does become quite an issue when it comes to reputation. As I said at the beginning, the purpose of the podcast today is to give you an overview for employers and some starting points to think about. So the first thing you need to think about is, what is the data that you are processing? Well, if you employ staff, then undoubtedly you are processing data about your employees. And that could be anything, as I said, name, address, date of birth, etc. What we need to be aware of as employers is that generally we will hold more information about our employees than we do for example, customers or clients, etc. So it becomes even more important in relation to employees because you can hold all kinds of information about them and sensitive information. So information about them, but also information about their families potentially. In order to legitimately retain and process information, personal data, then you need to have a legal basis for processing that information. And there are a number of ways in which you can show that you have a legal basis for doing so. The first of those is consent. So the person whose data you hold consents to you holding it about them. Now, currently, what many people do, and certainly in the contracts that I draft, there is a general clause in there relating to the Data Protection Act, which the employee gives consent for the employer to process data about them and potentially personal sensitive data about them. Under the GDPR, that will no longer be sufficient. In order for somebody to give consent to holding their data, it must be freely given, it must be specific, it must be informed and unambiguous. If the acceptance of the terms of employment is conditional upon an employee getting employment, then that will not be freely given because it's a condition that they take up the employment. So if you want to obtain consent from an employee to process their data, it's no longer sufficient under the GDPR to include a clause within their employment contract. Therefore, if you're going to rely on the employee's consent for processing the data, I recommend that you either have a separate box in the contract which specifically refers to data processing and they sign that as a separate box, or you have a separate agreement in relation to that, that they give consent. But the employee has the right to withdraw their consent at any time and they must be told that they have the right to withdraw their consent. On the subject of consent, this is applicable to employees also, but also to processing customer or suppliers or website users' data. The Information Commissioner is due to issue guidance on consent, and that's expected to be issued in December. So I will talk about the Information Commissioner's website shortly, but it's worth looking out for that as another piece of information in your preparation. There are other ways in which you can justify the processing of data, and that is where it's necessary for the performance of a contract. So this is where you would say, I need information about, you know, where you live, your bank details, etc., because otherwise I can't perform the contract between us, so I can't pay your salary. The other ways in which you can justify holding information is where you are required to have it for a legal obligation. Let's just say, for example, you need by law to see somebody's driving license to comply with insurance requirements. That would be a legal obligation. If it's necessary to protect the interests of the employee or another person, actually, if it's necessary to protect the vital interests, I should say, of an employee or another person. If it's necessary for the performance of a task carried out in the public interest or in the exercise of official authority vested in you as the employer. And finally, if it's necessary for the purposes of the legitimate interests pursued by the employer or a third party, except where those interests are overrun by the interests or fundamental rights and freedoms of the employee. So those are the ways in which you can justify processing employee data. As an employer, you would probably be looking at either the consent or processing for a legitimate interest or processing in order to make the contract work, essentially. If you rely on the legitimate interest as the reason for holding the information, which is the one that's actually most commonly relied on, then you must tell the employee what your legitimate interests are in holding that information. Now, under the GDPR, a lot of the emphasis on the rights of the data subject, so the employee, is around the information that they are required to be given about how you hold their details. So if you think about your own personal experience, you may give over personal details to companies when you are, you know, looking for services, for example. Currently, you don't know how that information is held, why it's held, or what they're holding it for, and or what they're using it for even. So under the GDPR, employees and data subjects are required to be given more information about their data and what you're using it for. And so any information that you give to employees now must be concise, it must be transparent, it must be easily accessible, and it must be given in plain language. And you must be clear that you state the legal process or the legal basis for processing their data. You must also tell employees who's going to have their personal data, what's going to happen with it, where it's going to be stored, how long it's going to be stored for, the rights that they have in relation to subject access and to having their information erased, which I'll come on to. You must tell them their right to object to you processing it in particular situations. You must tell them, as I said earlier, that they have the right to withdraw their consent. And you must also tell them that they have the right to complain to a regulator. And if you hold information outside of the EU, then you must inform them of this. So currently, employers don't need to give that much information to their employees about what they're doing with their data. But after May 2018, there's a requirement to have this. So it's a good time to look at your policies and procedures, your induction process, to make sure that you're giving all of the information that you're required to employees when they start working for you. So we've already learned that employees have the right to be given the information and information about their rights under the GDPR, but they also have additional rights as a data subject to be forgotten. Some of you may have heard about the case somebody brought against Google in relation to information that was showing up on search engines about them. And it was found that they have the right to be forgotten. So data subjects can ask for the information to be erased. They can ask for the information to be rectified if it's not correct. They can also ask you to restrict the processing of the information to certain circumstances. And they can also object to the processing of information about them. And if you've read any commentary about the GDPR and your rights, you will have seen maybe it summarised as delete it, freeze it, correct it rights. And that's something you should keep in mind with all employees. If somebody asks you to change something in their personnel record, then you should certainly consider what your obligations are under the GDPR. Now, in addition to those changes, there have been changes, or there will be changes, should I say, to how people can access their data. Currently, employees have the right to make a subject access request for their information, and there is a process which is fairly well known to people about how that happens. Currently, if an employee asks for their personal data under the subject access request, then an employer has 40 days in which to comply. Under the GDPR, an employer should provide the information without undue delay and within 1 month. Now, there is a situation where there can be a 2 month extension if necessary, but generally, employers will have to provide that information within 1 month. It is also widely accepted that employers will ask for a payment of £10 from the person who's making the request to cover administrative costs for fishing out the information, essentially, and providing the photocopies. Well, there isn't a fee under the GDPR. However, if the request that's made is manifestly unfounded or excessive, then the employer can ask for reasonable fee for the admin costs of getting that information, or could refuse altogether. Now, my advice in relation to this and the guidance that's being given is that if somebody makes a large and unreasonable request for their personal data to be provided, then it's recommended that you start an open dialogue with the employee to try to narrow it down rather than blanket refuse. So again, you'll need to adjust your contracts or your handbook or processes or procedures in relation to how you deal with subject access requests after the GDPR becomes in force. Another change that employers will need to embrace or understand is that there is a requirement that you must demonstrate compliance with the GDPR regulations. And it's not just necessary to say that there hasn't been a breach or you haven't done anything wrong. If asked by the regulator, which will be the Information Commissioner, then you may have to provide details of your compliance. So it's important, in my opinion, when you're undertaking your changes and this process in getting ready for the GDPR, to make sure that you document everything and you document your changes and then you document how you're complying. Now, for those businesses that don't systematically monitor or hold large-scale data, so there's not large-scale processing of data, so it's for those businesses, I suppose, that's their primary role or one of their fundamental tasks that they undertake is to process and monitor data, then there isn't a requirement to have a separate data protection officer. However, it is something that you may wish to consider. And when going through this process of preparing for the GDPR, you may want to decide to appoint a data protection officer or somebody who is responsible for data protection within your organisation. And then finally, in this roundup, the last point I wanted to make is that employers will have to disclose when there has been a data breach of personal information within 72 hours of discovering the breach. So if, for example, it comes to light that your system has been hacked and your employee HR records have been taken or viewed or in some way corrupted, then you would have an obligation to inform the Information Commissioner's Office within 72 hours of the breach. And unless you can provide a reasonable justification for not doing so, you'd have 72 hours to provide the information. If the breach is unlikely to result in a risk to the data subject, then you're not required to provide that information, which is interesting. So if, for example, a laptop is stolen and the laptop is encrypted, then it's unlikely that the data on that is going to be accessed and there's not going to be a risk to the data subject, so you wouldn't need to disclose. But you do need to keep a record of that on your own systems and for compliance. Now, as I said at the outset, I am just starting out by touching upon the key concepts around the GDPR, and there will be another episode, at least one other, to follow, in which I'm going to provide you with a checklist of things that as an employer you should be doing. So do tune in to the next episode for that. That'll be in a fortnight's time. But in the meantime, I just want to summarise for you the key points I think you should take away from today's podcast. And that is that the GDPR is a change to the way in which you are required as an employer to deal with data of your employees. It comes into effect from May. There are similarities to the Data Protection Act 1995, but there are a number of other things that you need to be aware of, not least your requirement for understanding your legitimate reason for processing employee information and for the information that you're required to provide to those employees. And you should also note that you have an obligation to demonstrate you comply, to disclose any breaches to the Information Commissioner, and that your failure to comply could be very costly given the increase in fines that would now be available after the GDPR comes into force. So as always, if you have any questions about this week's podcast, then do please get in touch. I'm currently getting my own head around what the GDPR means in terms of my business from a commercial perspective. There are various things that we need to work around with relation to employees, but also, as you know, if you process data about customers or clients or visitors to your website, then you will need to ensure that you comply with the GDPR for them as well. I said at the beginning I'd give you some more information, and really, the best place to go and the place that I am looking for my information and updates and guidance on the GDPR as a business owner is the Information Commissioner's website. And you can find that, I'll put a link in the show notes, but just for you, it's really easy. It's ico.org.uk. And if you go on the site for organisations, you'll find lots of great resources and information. I would highly recommend that you sign up for their updates. They do send out emails and they will tell you when things are happening and also the up-to-date position and guidance on GDPR. So do have a look at that in terms of your business generally. In terms of your employment requirements, we are of course trying to keep on top of it and we'll continue to give you more information as it becomes available. No doubt it's one of those things where until it starts to have practical effect, we won't really understand the full implications for employers, but we can go with the regulations and the guidance that's coming out now. And I will continue to cover that in the podcast and on my show notes and on the website adviceforemployers.co.uk. If you would like help in getting your organisation ready for the GDPR in relation to your employment law side of things and your HR and your processes, then we are very happy to help with that. Do please get in touch. You can contact us. You can contact me directly. It's alison@realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk, or you can send an email to gdpr@realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk and we'll be straight in touch with you to get that sorted for you. Thanks again for listening. Of course, as I said earlier, it's a complicated area. I don't want you to be too panicked about it. Please get advice if you need it, and we're always here to help. Many thanks for listening, and I will be speaking to you again in 2 weeks' time. Thanks again for listening. Just want to finalise by saying I wouldn't be a lawyer unless I had a legal disclaimer. So I must just say to you that the information in this podcast is for information only. It's general review and a general update. It's always necessary to get specific legal advice about your circumstances. So please don't rely on anything that you've heard in this podcast. But please do feel free to contact me if you'd like further information or specific advice.